Hey guys, welcome to the Learn Feng Shui podcast, where you'll learn Feng Shui from a classical point of view, taking out the myth and superstition. So if you're interested in learning Feng Shui, Chinese astrology, all things Chinese metaphysics, as well as the superstitions and myths that connect it all, you'll enjoy learning Feng Shui with me. Hey guys, today we're going to talk about the changing time cycle in Feng Shui, period 9. What is it and how do we tap into it? What does it mean for us as a society? Let's get into it on today's episode of Learn Feng Shui. Every culture throughout history has a way of measuring time in some sort of time cycle. The Hindu culture has the yugas, Buddhism, they have the wheel of time. And we all know like the famous Mayan calendar in which the world was supposed to end in 2012. And even the ancient Roman emperor and philosopher Marcus Aurelius did say that he viewed time as extended forwards and backwards into infinity. And that's kind of where these time cycles come in. They were used to make certain predictions and kind of tell us what kind of energies are with us during this period of time. So if you're, have been following feng shui or feng shui enthusiasts, you may have heard some buzz that this year, 2024, the year of the dragon, does start a new time cycle according to feng shui, and that is bringing in a time cycle or period 9. So today we're going to talk about what it is, you know, how it kind of works, how it's going to affect society, the industries, negative impacts, and what we can do in our home feng shui wise, how that's going to change, what's going to happen, and how we can prepare for this period 9. So let's get into it. I'm Candace Berlanga, certified feng shui practitioner and red ribbon professional with the International Feng Shui Guild. So I'm excited to bring this topic today and talk to you about period 9. All right, so starting off with what exactly is this feng shui time cycle? What are we talking about? So when we look at different schools of feng shui, they all have kind of different ways of assessing feng shui. And as I mentioned at the beginning, every kind of culture has a different way of looking at energy through these time cycles. And so we most commonly kind of look at feng shui in like two kind of schools of thought, eight mansions and flying stars. You know, these are kind of the most popular ones. But this actually just falls into a category called San Yuan Feng Shui, in which there are these three cycles. So when we're looking at the cycles, each one of them consists of three time periods. So period 1, 2, and 3 belongs to the upper cycle. Periods 4, 5, and 6 belong to a middle cycle. And where we're at now here, period 7, 8, and 9 all belong to the lower cycle. And then they'll just repeat. And each one of these periods is a 20-year cycle of energy. And so each one of these cycles, like upper, middle, and lower cycle, is a 60-year cycle of energy. So now that we talked about that, you may be wondering, what does this even have to do with feng shui and why do I need to know about period 9 or with these time cycles? That's because when we're looking at these time cycles and the different periods that we're in, you may have heard the term, you know, vibrant or timely. I know when I first started doing feng shui, they're like, oh, it's not timely, so it's not a usable energy. And I would think like, what the hell does timely and vibrant mean? Like, I don't understand what that means. So this is where that kind of info comes in, okay? So when we're looking at the period that we're in, so for 2004 to 2024 till this year, we were in this period 8 energy. And so the energies that are kind of like farthest away, the time cycles that are farthest away are considered to be inauspicious or not vibrant. And so when we talk about things like flying star number 2 or flying star number 7, you know, so before 2004, period 7 was timely and vibrant. And now that energy starts to kind of deteriorate, you know. So we're still in this time cycle. So technically it's period 7 or flying stars number 7, the West sector, like all of those area, all of those things associated with the number 7 are still going to be kind of usable, but the energy is like kind of dissipating and waning out. And so when we think about stuff like maybe even the flying star 2, the closer we get to period 2, the more vibrant that energy is going to become and more usable. And so instead of being like illness star, we can think of it in terms of like acquiring property and assets, you know, those energies. And so it just kind of makes the energy that it's closest to vibrant and usable. And so that does mean that this earth energy, flying star number 8 and everything, the energy is kind of dissipating a little bit. And, you know, we kind of, you know, understand that, right? We understand that the earth energy is going away, and now it has a very vibrant fire energy. So this fire energy is going to come in very strong. And let's talk about what that fire energy now means for us as a society as a whole. So the first thing I think that will change as a society, and this is just kind of my outlook, but we can already see it, because fire, as this fire energy represents technology and stuff like that, the rise of AI, guys, we're already seeing it. We see AI pictures, you know, generated. We see AI writing headlines, videos, you know, we see these weird deep fake videos. At least I do. Maybe I'm just weird, you know, but we see these really weird like deep fakes, and it's really hard to now tell sometimes the fake from the real, you know, as far as like media. And so I just think that's going to kind of continue to rise. And maybe this will be the time where we, you know, start to be able to, you know, upload our, you know, our digital brains before we pass away and stuff like that. You know, we've kind of been working towards what they call the singularity, you know, this upload of consciousness. And so I kind of think that this could be possible during this period of time. Fire, it also is really fast and rapid and takes over quick. So I think time, it's a very much a time of change. Things in society are going to change. We see our, you know, our Gen Z children, they're growing up and they're kind of, you know, they're getting out there. They're in the workforce now. They're voting. They're, you know, they're going to be a majority of, you know, these older Gen Z kids, you know? And so I just think with this new generation does come a time of change, but I do also, I'm optimistic, and I think we'll also see a lot of growth and progress. I think other things that we can kind of see is the rise of, I already talked about technology, but digitizing stuff. I think that a lot of AI may take over for automation for like call centers and stuff like that. But even adding like robotics and stuff like that to plants, you know, digitizing like these, what are they called? Like factories, you know, stuff like that. And so I think, you know, they might just need one person to run an entire machine, an entire factory, you know, or and one person for quality control rather than, you know, having 30 employees that are doing stuff manually. And so I do think that, you know, it's going to be also the decline of like, for some people, a stable income, you know, and so unless you can capitalize on AI, digitalization, and technology, you might not have as stable as an income. Because remember that earth energy that's going away, that 8, it does represent like just the workhorse and that stable income. And so I think that is going to change. And I really see, you know, in this kind of mentality of like the older generation kind of saying like, oh, you know, these kids just need to work harder. Well, the time for working harder is it's now it's work smarter. Okay. And so I do think that people, you know, you see them, I think since COVID, leaving traditional jobs, and we see, you know, people not wanting to put up with that daily grind of like being mistreated, especially for like hourly employees who, you know, are just kind of left to figure things out if they can't come in or if they're sick or, you know, things like that. And so I don't think that it needs to be bad in stable income, because I think when you're in control of how much you make, then you can always have the capacity to make more, if that makes sense. But even if you're, you know, stuck at an hourly job, you're really kind of limited to how many hours you can work and how you can outwork somebody else to make more money. And so I do think that self-employment and stuff like that will see a rise. Other industries represented by the fire energy do include beauty, technology. It also symbolizes the rise of women. I think this was really kind of marked, at least here in the U.S., by our first female vice president, lover or hater, either way, right? Doesn't matter. But the rise of like a middle-aged woman, you know, it kind of represents like the oldest daughter in that Bagua. And so it represents like an older woman, not like a matronly type, but just like an older woman. The rise, of course, of influencers. And I think we see that a lot anyway. Pretty much anybody can monetize a platform. So you can go in and you can make videos on TikTok or Instagram or Facebook or, you know, I mean, I do some of that too. But yeah, in the rise of influencers, I think, do be careful not to be too influenced. I think, you know, we can get kind of caught up in that, that thing of like, oh, I want to buy this because I saw it on this video or this ad or whatever, or so-and-so had it. So do be careful about that. But also spiritual and happiness. Spirituality and happiness is represented by the fire energy. I think the churches will probably see some sort of reformation or a change, I'm hoping. I personally don't go to church. You know, I think that has changed a lot because I know a lot of younger people are turning away from a organized religion. And so I think it's going to go more towards a spirituality and a happiness, and maybe even sort of a decline of the mega church. Maybe that's what I'm thinking. We'll see. I mean, maybe it'll rise because people want more, you know, more religion. I don't know. But to me, the fire energy is more about the spirituality part of it and less about the organized religion part of it. Passion. So even the adult industry, I think, will have a rise. I think we've seen a rise in that in sites like OnlyFans, where anybody can kind of go in and, you know, make money in the adult industry. But even like, how do I say, like, fun items and toys and stuff like that to spice up your love life. You know, I think passion is going to play a big part in period 9. And I do, to me, I feel like a lot of the younger generation is very open about sexuality and very fluid in their sexuality. I see that rising a lot. And so I feel like that is going to continue to increase. Media and film is also a fire industry. So I don't really have much to say about that, but I think it'll keep going. Fashion. I think we're really due for like a fashion change. And so, you know, I love fashion, although I don't myself, you know, get spruced up, but I like to look at it, I think. And I really think we're in for at least a change in our fashion. And so if we think about like the period of time, like the 60s, 70s, and 80s, you know, I was born in the 80s, I'm in my 40s. And so to me, I feel like during that time period, you know, like you can look at, like, I would look at my mom's old magazines from like the 70s and I would see, you know, the fashion, and you could look at the fashion from when you're, you know, the current fashion when I was a child, and you could definitely see like a change. You knew very distinctly, you know, you could watch the Brady Bunch and see that's a 70s era show. And likewise, you can watch a show from the 80s and you can see that's a very 80s show. And then there we have the 90s and style changed again. And we can look at that and say there was like a very 90s vibe, like the hair, the makeup, and everything like that. And although everything kind of gets cycled around, I think definitely there's like revivals of styles and stuff like that. Especially in the 90s, we kind of recycled a lot of 60s and 70s styles. I think that we're in for like a change, or maybe I'm just hoping, but I think that because if you look at anybody from the 2000s, you know, maybe the early 2000s was that kind of like, you know, we had different styles, you know, especially like the younger kids. I remember being in my 20s and 2000s, and we had a lot of, you know, the styles had changed from the 90s into the 2000s. But I feel like in the 2000s, we kind of hit this wall of like this fashion stagnancy, right? And although things do change, you know, you hear like skinny jeans are out or whatever, right? I'd feel like there needs to be like a some sort of like major shift in fashion. Like when we again kind of go back to the 80s, when we looked at the 80s, it was so distinct and so unique, and the colors and the styles and the hair and everything, the makeup, it was very, very bold, very bright. But then we got into again the 2000s, and that has changed just a little bit. And again, it's just hasn't changed. So if you look at a style from 2015, it looks the same now. You can't really tell, like, oh, that's 10 years ago. But as opposed to looking at the style change from the 80s to the 90s or 70s to 80s. So anyway, I just hope we're in for a change in fashion. Enough about that. I do think there's going to be a rise also in intuitive careers. And so I know that, I've even talked to people, a lot of people. Former guest Tammy Doe, Ryan Nickel that I talked to last month, Zach Louie, like they were all like these, like business professionals, and they completely maybe had some sort of awakening and changed into an intuitive type career, or feng shui, the boo breeding, or in Tammy Doe's case, her, light goddess work and her work with moldavite. And so I really see a shift, I think in the past few years, where people are leaving their very kind of sensible corporate jobs to change into something that is more intuitive, where they're tapping into that and they're really finding a passion in that. And so that might also go with that passion energy that I talked about earlier. It doesn't always have to be sexual. It can definitely just be like, what's your life passion, Advances in technology, as far as medicine and pharmacological advancements, I think we'll probably see some of that. Or maybe even just the way that that is assessed or performed or whatever. So there's that. I think that will have some sort of either a change. I think maybe medicine, we'll just kind of continue to improve on it, I hope, and hopefully finding cures for those bad diseases. But fire is represented by, it represents medicine. And then, let's see, sales and marketing. So, sales, marketing is definitely probably like a period seven type of thing, right? That talking and that speaking. But I think making it look good. So remember, nine is all about the looks. It's all about how you're presenting it, And I do think there will be changes in communication and travel. I think we just kind of have seen that since 2020. I think that, obviously, like I'm here in the US and we're working towards, a cleaner energy and travel and stuff like that. And so I just think that's kind of going to continue. I'm always hoping for that Hyperloop that we have been promised that can get us from East to West Coast and, hours, whatever, less than a plane. I'm always hoping for that Hyperloop. But yeah, even just communication. So we kind of see a lot of that digitized. So, I think these will be the. These are my predictions for the next 20 years, guys. And looking at the way that fire can kind of negatively impact us, remember fire does have to do also with reputation. So if you follow like the Western style Bagua, you'll see that, the South or the fire energy is like fame and reputation sector, right? You may refer to it like that. If you do BTB, it'll be that back center area, and it's referred to as fame and reputation, the fire energy. And so I think that definitely in the age of technology, your reputation can be discredited in minutes. You say the wrong thing, you are seen in the wrong way, and there goes your reputation. You can get fired. Like we see, like you see it all the time, right? You see it all the time. I think when when looking at social media, you're like, oh, look, Karen in the wild, I got them fired from their job or whatever, And so, yeah, granted, you shouldn't be, acting out in public, shouldn't be doing that. So watch what you say and do during this time, because you can be discredited so fast. Trouble adapting, I think, can be another negative impact for especially older generation. I definitely know that a lot of people are scared of like AI or, and I get that too, because it does make you think about that uncanny valley, like weird, And you think about movies like The Matrix, like we grew up watching these movies, right? Where technology takes over and it can be negative. And so we kind of are scared of that, you know? And so that might be a consideration, but I really think it'll be more about the trouble adapting to these societal changes. And of course, we know like our older generations are getting quite up there in age. And so, just maybe having trouble adapting to this new society. I think we see it anyway because, you know, we'll get the old Karens, you know, where they're like, oh, these kids with their blue hair. Well, things change, Karen. You know, things change. So we got to kind of change with the times, you know. The other thing that I see could be continued conflict or worsening conflict, more war, stuff like that, just because that fire energy is temperamental. It's fast, it's quick, it acts without thinking. You know, fire can consume and can, you know, if you think of somebody being angry or like that little Disney cartoon where they were all the emotions, you know, right? So the angry guy had like a flame on his head, right? You think of anger when you think of fire. And so it just can be very volatile very quickly. And so hopefully not, but we may continue going into this time period to see worsening or continued conflict. Right, a little mid-show break. I'm just going to talk to you real quick about learnfengshui.com. Make sure you go check that out. I do have that upcoming event. I do have it linked. Everything's ready to go. You can register, and I'll put that below. So yeah, astrology event. I want to do a zodiac party on January 21st. It'll be 9:30-ish a.m. Central Time. So if you're in East Coast, I think that's an hour ahead, 10. And the West Coast is 2 hours early, so I'm sorry that'll be early for you. But yeah, come bring a mimosa or a cup of tea and join me for a zodiac party. I do the zodiac predictions. It just kind of helps you plan out your year. I enjoy doing it because sometimes I'll look back and I'm like, oh my gosh, that really did happen, or I need to watch my spending. And so it'll address things like love, you know, who has the best chances to take things to the next level. Maybe you want to get married this year. Does it, you know, is a year supporting you? Who can prosper financially? Who's gonna have better luck? You know, is it your year to kind of lay a little bit low? And so it just kind of helps you get your year in order and look at those zodiac signs. I'll have a Q&A at the end. But yeah, join me. I'm excited about doing it. It's my favorite event I do every year. I've been doing it, I think this is the third year that I've done it, and I just really enjoy it. So yeah, zodiac party and predictions on January 21st. Join me. Now, getting into what's going to change with the feng shui within our homes. There will be some changes with a few different things. I know, as I mentioned, Flying Star 8 will not be as relevant. And again, it's associated with that hard work, that daily grind. And again, that kind of that old myth of like, just work harder and you'll do good, you know? Just that's kind of going out, you know? Period 9, the Flying Star number 9 is very timely, as well as the south sector of your home. It's very, very important. So if your home is missing the south sector, you're going to want to add fire. Now, when your home is missing a sector, the particularly the south and north, it can impact you kind of very greatly. Because if you think about it, the other sectors all have a yin and yang to them. So you have the yin and yang earth in the northeast and southwest, and then you have like the yin and yang metal in the northwest and west, and then you have the yin and yang wood in the southeast and east. But you only have one sector that has fire, and you only will have one sector that has water. So you only have that in the north and south. And so if you're missing one of these sectors from your home, you are missing that element from your home, and it could impact you in different ways. You know, if you're missing the south, maybe you feel like you're unfulfilled, not as happy. You don't, you know, the feelings of like emptiness or loneliness, maybe. So those are kind of some things associated with lack of fire. You know, lack of inspiration can be associated with lack of fire. And so, you know, it's very important for you to add that element of fire to your home. And that can be done by literally adding fire or just adding your colors. However you want to fix that, you can definitely do that and enhance your red, you know, the red colors and stuff like that, enhance this the fire energy within your home. And let's see here. The flying stars, one of the things that I've been asked too is that flying stars, how will this change your flying star chart of your home? And the answer is it won't. So the flying stars won't actually change, like the natal chart of your home is not going to change. And so this is based on the time period that your house is built, and that's how the stars are flown within the home. And so that doesn't change when the period changes. That will only change if you have a house built after February this year. Or if you do like major renovations and stuff like that, kind of use your just kind of use your, I guess, common sense when it comes to whether or not your flying star chart should change. So if you renovate a large portion of your home and you feel like, I think my home's been updated, I think I need to use the flying star chart number 9 now, then, you can kind of, gauge that if it feels like it makes more sense to you. How is it, has the energy shifted in your home? Some people actually do use move-in dates, and I'll leave that up to each practitioner. I know I have a friend, and she says she doesn't like to tell people she uses the move-in date because she doesn't like people like other practitioners like judging her. And so, but it's just kind of what you learn and what you go off of. And so if that's the case for you, then you could use Flying Star Chart number 9, for the 9 period. But if you're just living in a home, your Flying Star Chart will not change. Okay. So that will not be any different. Let's see here. And the areas you place water. So they do say now that you can place water in the south, and that's supposed to be a very auspicious. In the past, it's been said that you usually don't use water in the south because it's a fire sector and you don't want to put the fire out with water. However, again, I think it's the changes. I can't remember if there's a change. If you know what direct indirect spirit is, you might discover a change that way. I honestly haven't done enough kind of digging around on that topic to kind of see where you're supposed to place water. There's different sectors you're supposed to place water, different sectors you're not supposed to. However, again, with it being timely, it is said you're supposed to place water in that sector. So go ahead and go for it, Here from Tanya Feng Shui, she does say that to find the area that corresponds with number 9, these are her suggestions, to clean the area, ensure the sector corresponding to the flying star 9 is clean also, so you can find that within your home. If you have you can enhance with the water element, she says also. Flying star 9 is the element of fire, but in period 9 we can activate with water, so you can introduce it to your space. And then brighten the space up. So we know that fire element, like it can also represent the sun. We want it to be bright and illuminated. It does say here, ensure the sector is well lit to promote the flow of energy. Use bright lamps and maintain the area. Keep it clean and well lit, well maintained. And you should have a prosperous period 9. So I'll link this article. Love Tanya Feng Shui. She's awesome. So I'll link this article down below. The houses that will benefit most from this energy will be the ones facing this energy. And so that is going to actually be the north and south, because remember the 9 is the timely star now, most vibrant energy, and the 1 star, the 1 or period 1 is going to be the next one in line. And so those are considered the most vibrant, and so you can kind of tap into that. Again, just kind of doing a water activation at the front in either the north or south, especially if that's the front of your home, then you'll be able to tap into that energy nicely. So, how will this fire energy impact our personal lives? We know that fire also can impact our personal energy, and it definitely will. So, since the fire is dominating and we're coming out of this period 8, this stable earth energy, this grounded energy, and it is this very unstable, like fast energy, it could definitely make you feel more like unstable. And so it could impact your health also, just kind of depending. And so if fire is also your wealth element, so if you're a water day master, we know that, those elements, the day master elements, it'll have an impact on that. And so if you're a water day master, you'll see the wealth for this period that could benefit you financially. And the Guan Nines will also be enhanced. And so if you're a Guan Nine, you'll receive this energy very vibrantly. And make sure that the south area, like we talked about, of your home is, you do all the things, especially for you Guan Nines. The zodiac signs that'll be most impacted is going to be the snake, the horse, and the goat, which are, they make up that season of summer. They're the fire energy. So if you're born after May 5th, anywhere to, so May, June, and July are those fire months. So you might want to check out, you probably have one of these zodiac signs. Could be good for your career, you know, but also the zodiac signs that combine with those. So the snake does have the combination with the rooster and ox, so you'll benefit from that. And the horse has the combination with the dog and the tiger. So if you have any of these zodiac signs, could be quite lucky for you in period 9. All right, guys, that's all I got for today about period 9. If I have any other information come up or if I discover anything that I think you might find interesting, I'll go ahead and share that as I, you know, kind of learn to, because I'm kind of learning about this too. I've never, you know, studied feng shui during this time cycle change. I've only been doing this since I started in 2017. So here I am today. announcements, again, just go to that Zodiac Party event, you know, page, RSVP for it. It'll send you a Zoom link. I hope to see you there on the 21st. Should be quite a fun time. Come see what your zodiac signs have in store for you for the year. And then the 19th, we'll have that yearly energy update. And so we'll see what the energy is bringing us for the year of the dragon. And that'll just be focused on feng shui since I'm doing the zodiac predictions on the 21st. So all about the feng shui for 2024 and what we need to be enhancing and mitigating and looking at those flying stars. So I'll see you guys next week and hopefully at that zodiac party. For a free Wonder Room consultation or energy mapping of your space, follow the link in the show notes. To support the podcast, share with your family and friends, leave a review, or go to learnfengshui.com.